Well, hello and welcome to the Advisor Pact monthly session. I'm Mark Little. This is the time we get together each month and we help you make progress implementing our content, or you can use this time for anything you like. If you have an issue that you're struggling with related to a client, if you have a issue that you're struggling with that's related to staff members, anything having to do with a retail financial advisory business, let's talk about it. Normally what I do during this session is I, as questions are coming in throughout the month from you, the members of the Advisor Pack monthly program, we're responding to your questions in real time. And I usually select one or two questions to deal with during this session. I try to pick something that I think are big issues with everyone, something that if we covered it as a group, this would help you advance what you're doing, help you take your practice to the next level. So, same as we're going to do today. The difference with today's session is there was content for the question that we're going to cover today over on one of our other programs, the Trusted Advisor Toolkit. So what I've done for today's session is I've created a cheat sheet, which I'll give you a link to when we get into it, something that you can access if you want to implement what we're talking about today. So let's see. Just to let you know, during the month, when you have questions, the way our program is set up is we give you a project to work on each and every month. So as you're implementing these projects that we send you, there's no reason for you to be stuck or need direction or just to have any problem with implementing what we're giving you. There is a contact us link on every single page of the Advisor Pack monthly system. So if you go to click contact us whenever you have a question, you'll have a choice. You can either type out your question, and those are questions that are more of a technical nature. So if you have a question of a technical nature, like you're having, I don't know, problems accessing something on our system, or you want to know where something is, that would be a technical question. But the point is, if you have a question for me, you'll notice that there is an option to leave me a voicemail. So if you've got a question that you want me to respond to, then you'll need to leave me a verbal message. I don't like to respond to typed out messages, mainly because I always invariably have questions about your question. In other words, you're not giving me enough context. But I notice if you'll leave me a voicemail, a message about your question, you'll take a little bit longer, you'll give me a little more context, and I almost always have enough for what I need to respond to your question if you'll leave me a message, a verbal message. So when you get to the Contact Us link, just click the link to leave me a message. It'll bring you to this page, and it's easy. You just click that start recording button and you explain whatever you're struggling with, whatever your question or your issue having to do with you needing my help, you just leave me that message on that site. Okay, so what's the question today that I had to create a cheat sheet to provide to you? Well, this is the question. What do I do when a client never provides referrals? Who hadn't had this situation? You have a client, you've been providing them service for some time. It's a situation where you feel like the client is happy. They're receiving value from the services that you're providing, yet they're never providing you with referrals. So the advisor that submitted this question said, I have a couple of clients who seem happy with my services, but have never given me any referrals. Went on to say, this is unusual, and I wondered what you recommend doing, if anything. So this client is coming up on their first annual review with us, and I'm deciding whether to discuss this issue with them or not. Well, yes, I think you should discuss this issue with them. I have a whole process for this that I've developed for my clients that I call the References Project. Okay, so we're going to go into the References Project today. You know, we're going to talk about what's the need for it, what is it, how do you conduct it, and why on earth would the References Project be the answer to a client who's either losing enthusiasm about the relationship, and you pick up on that, you know. So it's either a client that you've noticed over time, they've just sort of become bored in the meetings, and or they used to refer and they have dropped off and they're no longer providing as many referrals as they used to, which is another sign that their enthusiasm is waning. Or they've never provided you referrals whatsoever. So the References Project, and trust me, over the last 40 years, I have tried a number of things, but this References Project is the single most effective thing that I've ever implemented in my business to address the issue of clients who are either not referring or seem to be losing interest in the relationship, or their enthusiasm is declining for some reason. All right. So where is this cheat sheet? You'll need to go just open an empty browser. I'm going to demonstrate how to do this in a minute, but I set up the URL, thereferencesproject.com. If you'll go to thereferencesproject.com, you will find the cheat sheet that I set up for us for today. Now, there is a critical premise that you have to accept in order for you to use the References Project, or for the References Project to be worth the effort. And it's a premise. It's a critical premise. And I think it's one of the most important premises that you have to accept in our business, or else I think you're going to run into problems at some point. Or at the very least, if you don't run into problems in your business because you don't accept this premise, then the situation will be more likely that you're going to hit some obstacle to growth in your business, and you're going to be wondering, you know, why am I not growing faster than I am right now? Why is it that there's this ceiling that I can't seem to push past in my business? Why are we not acquiring ideal clients at a faster clip? I believe all of these questions for most advisors who are wondering and scratching their heads about, you know, why am I not growing faster? Why, and so forth, questions of that nature. I think it's because of a failure to accept this critical premise, which is client referrals are the best and most direct method of measuring client satisfaction. Now, sounds simple. You may even accept it just in passing when I say that. But I'm telling you that this is a critical premise, in that if you don't accept this, not only should you disregard the References Project because it won't matter, but I think you just have to accept slow growth, because until you accept the premise that the rate at which your clients are providing you with referrals, and most specifically, unsolicited client referrals. So I'm not talking about necessarily referrals when you ask for them, because I will be the first to acknowledge my friend Bill Bachrach has convinced me of this over the years, that asking for referrals is actually a skill. And the way you ask for referrals and how often you ask for referrals, all of these things require a skill set. And the better you are at asking for referrals, yes, I'll admit, if you're really, really good and skilled at asking for referrals, well, that could generate an increased referrals. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about measuring client satisfaction. That before I met Bill Bachrach, my view of referrals was that they shouldn't be something I have to ask for. In other words, if I'm doing such a great job exceeding my clients' expectations, and I'm knocking their socks off in a regular basis, you know, doing things that are just mind-blowing to my clients in terms of over-the-top client service. In other words, if my job is to be indispensable for my clients and I'm successful at that, in other words, my clients, when you ask them point blank, am I indispensable to you? They say, yes, absolutely. I'm worried that if something happened to you, Mark, I'd be screwed. You know, in other words, I have clients that will acknowledge, yes, Mark, you're indispensable. So if that is the goal, and if you're actually working in a way that you're going to achieve that goal, and that becomes your team's goal. Our team's goal is to consistently exceed our clients' expectations, every client's expectations. And you're succeeding at that. Well, then what that means, and what I always felt that that would mean, was that when I'm not around, when the client is out in the wild and they're interacting with their friends, their colleagues, their people that they normally interact with in their circle, that when I'm not around, if I've knocked their socks off, then whenever the subject of money comes up, they're just going to naturally tell other people about the good news of their relationship with me, even when I'm not around. So I always felt that unsolicited client referrals should be the goal. Why? Because I need referrals. Well, yes, of course, from a business standpoint, referrals are a game changer. But what I'm talking about is client satisfaction. Would you not agree that if one of your clients is out in the wild, they're out chatting with friends of theirs, and the subject of money comes up, and they start mentioning you, and you receive an unsolicited client referral as a result. In other words, phone rings, you pick up the phone, you say, this is Mark Little, and the person on the other end starts to explain, you know, I have a very good friend, Ted and Lynn Smith, and long story short, Mark, we were talking about money the other day, and they told me point blank, I'd be a fool not to sit down and talk to you about my financial issues. And so that's what I call an unsolicited client referral. A potential client calls you out of the blue. They source one of your clients. They say that they'd like to sit down and talk business. Would you not agree that's an unsolicited client referral? Well, I always felt that's the goal. I shouldn't have to ask for referrals. I should just focus on exceeding my clients' expectations. And the measure of whether I'm doing my job or not and doing a good job is all these unsolicited client referrals that are coming in. And just as a side note, that is the purpose of the Advisor Pack Monthly Program. If you're sitting there wondering, what is the purpose of this program? Other than, you know, there's this guy, Mark Little. He's been around serving clients for 40 years. I can probably pick up a lot from this guy. You know, he's got a system in place for serving clients. He's trademarked a term, truly comprehensive financial services, so that we actually have a specific methodology that we roll out for clients that we brand as comprehensive financial services. Yes, all of that is true. But I'm telling you, at the end of the day, this program is all about unsolicited client referrals. And I would go so far as to say it's the only program out there anywhere that will even utter the term unsolicited client referral. You know, the fact that that's the objective that you're seeking in this program, and that's the measurement that you should measure your success in this program, I would say we're the only game in town. This is the only program anywhere in the financial services industry that will focus on you getting to the point where you measure client satisfaction by an increasing rate of unsolicited client referrals. That being said, I have a referral conversation. At the end of every client progress meeting, Bill Bachrach, 20 years ago, convinced me, Mark, it's just not good business not to have a referral conversation with your clients. So granted, Bill Bachrach's referral conversation is way different and better. You know, it's not, you know, getting on your knees and begging for referrals. No, it's in essence a conversation, and if you're in Bill's program, you know this. It's a conversation that basically says, you know, who would you like to share this great experience with? You know, that the fact that, you know, we are indispensable to you, you know, who do you care enough about to share the gift of indispensability with? And so the critical premise for you is, and if you accept this, then the references project that we're about to cover is going to make a big difference for you. And far as those two situations, you have a client that's enthusiasm is declining, or they are not referring as much as many people as they used to, or they've never referred people at all. But the premise that you have to accept coming in is that I should be tracking my client referrals from all my clients, and that rate of referrals should be increasing. And that if the rate of client referrals is increasing, then I can assume my client satisfaction is increasing and is high. And if I have a high percentage of my clients that are producing or providing client referrals, well, either solicited or unsolicited, getting a referral in either way counts, and it's good news, and it represents client satisfaction. Why? Because they wouldn't risk their reputation referring you unless they were totally, thoroughly happy with your services. In other words, the reason client referrals are the best and most direct method of client satisfaction is because none of us would risk our reputations referring you as an advisor to someone we know and love and care about unless we were totally satisfied with your services. You catch what I'm saying? So as long as you accept that, then let's get into the references project. Now, I'm going to run through it at a glance, and then I'm going to spend the rest of our time together here going through the cheat sheet that I've put up for you. So how does the references project in a work, and why does it work? Well, let me just walk through the steps of it. First is you've got to determine whether in the first step in the references project is you've got to determine whether there is a problem with the relationship. So just because somebody is not providing you with referrals does not mean they're unhappy. But you're not sure. So if I ask, let's say I'm working with an advisor. I think many of you know I've got a program where there's a limit on the number of advisors that we consult, but I do one-on-one consulting with 10 financial advisors. I limit it to 10. So at any given time, I'm coaching one-on-one 10 financial advisors. So we really get into this. I ask them to make a list of clients to make a list of clients and the number of referrals they've provided over the last 12 months. So you can imagine it's kind of an 80-20 situation. When you list all of your clients and then you list how many referrals have they provided over the last 12 months, at the top, let's say the top 20% of the clients who are referring, they're going to be providing about 80% of your referrals. But that's when you're focusing on referrals that matters. Okay, so that's great from a referral standpoint. 20% of my clients provide 80% of referrals. That's not what we're focusing on here. What we're trying to measure is client satisfaction. So we want to go down the list and see, you know, which clients used to refer more, like maybe this time last year, they referred twice as many people as they have now. So whose numbers have declined this time, you know, year over year. So this time versus this time last year, like right now versus this time last year. So that's number one, which clients have dropped in terms of the number of referrals. That could be a warning sign. You know, it could be nothing. It could be a warning sign. So the question is it on your radar screen? And then the second thing is I want to go down that list, a prioritized list of clients who have provided referrals over the last 12 months. And at the bottom of the list are going to be some names of clients who have not referred anybody in the last 12 months. So I want to focus on that list for the references project. Now, I might draw a line on that list and say, look, if they've only provided, for me, it's two referrals, because in our process, meaning the process you and I are working on implementing together in this program, We have a three meeting process. So we're meeting with clients three times a year. So I have three opportunities to quote unquote, knock my clients' socks off. And so the way I think of it is I should be getting at least one referral, you know, in between every client progress meeting. So if I'm conducting three client progress meetings with a client annually, which I am, then if I'm not having each client introduce me to at least one potential client every time we meet, so in between every client progress meeting, then I figure that client is not satisfied. That's the way I measure satisfaction. In other words, if we have three client progress meetings, which we do, then I should be getting a minimum of three referrals per client per year, minimum. Anything below that's unacceptable in our team. Okay. So I look down that list of client referrals over the last 12 months. And if they've provided three referrals or more, okay, we'll call them satisfied. Anything below that, two or one or zero, the references project kicks in. Okay. So what is the references project? Well, the first thing you do in the references project is you determine whether there's anything to this or not. In other words, is this just some client that just is thoroughly thrilled with the value that I'm providing them? In other words, they're so happy with the relationship that they can't, you know, they would definitely tell us to our face that we are in fact indispensable to them. And the fact that they're not referring, it's just some personality thing on their part. Either they, you know, they give you all kinds of excuses, and I don't know how much of it's true, but you know, I've had clients say, well, you know, we're just kind of introverted when it comes to money. We don't talk to our friends about money. Or some clients have told me over the years, we just don't interact with other people very much. We just kind of focus on our family. You know, and whatever. So whatever they say about why, you know, they're, you know, what's going on, you still have to ask yourself, how do I know? In other words, how do I know whether this client's actually satisfied or not? I know for a client that is providing referrals that they're satisfied. Why? Because they wouldn't risk their reputation to refer us. But for the people that aren't referring, I can't just dismiss them as being unsatisfied. I can't just accept that. I need to know. And so I, when I'm coaching the 10 advisors and we get to those clients on their list that have not referred anybody, or they've referred just two or one or none over the last 12 months, I ask the advisor, are these clients satisfied with your service? What do you think the advisor tells me? Like 90% of the time. What would you tell me if you had a client and I was talking with you one-on-one and I was asking, this client has not referred anybody to you in the last 12 months. What does that particular client feel about the value that you're providing to them? What would you say? Well, I can tell you most advisors look at me and say, no, they love us. They love my team. They're very, very happy. You know, it's not that, Mark. It's not that they're not happy with our services. There is no problem with the relationship. And I'll go, how do you know? What evidence do you have? So the motion I'm putting on the table is you don't know. If they're referring, then you do know. If they're referring even one person, then you know that they're at least minimally satisfied with your services because they wouldn't risk their reputation referring you to someone that they care about unless they were satisfied, that you're technically competent, okay? And so you need to find out is the point I'm making. You need to come up with, and the references project has done that. We'll be going through this in a minute, but there is a conversation to explain what you're doing in such a way that the client gets it. They understand why you're wondering whether there's a problem with the relationship or not. So you need a way to get that out onto the table with your clients in such a way that it's honest and candid and that will encourage the client to just open up and be candid. Like, they will tell you for sure whether there is or is not a problem with the relationship. And then you will have a way to test that. So just because they say, oh yeah, yeah, Mark, no, I'm very happy with your services. Very, very happy. No, you're indispensable to us. No, we have a way to test that with the references project and see if that's in fact the case. In a way that the client has no problem with. Okay, so step number two is disclosure. You're going to disclose your method of measuring client satisfaction. In other words, in the references project, you're going to tell clients that, listen, referrals, when we receive referrals from clients, we know they're happy with us. But we measure referrals, and it's not for the reason that you think. You think I'm measuring referrals because we want referrals from a business standpoint. Well, of course, every business wants referrals from a business standpoint, but you're going to explain how and why you use referrals as a way of measuring client satisfaction. And you're going to explain it in a way that they're going to get it, and they're not going to think that you have an ulterior motive for asking them to give you referrals. No, they're going to understand that there's a problem, that the fact that, you know, that they're not providing referrals is just simply telling you and your team there may be a problem in the relationship, and they're going to get it. They're going to say, oh, okay, well, let me tell you this. And then they're going to explain what they actually feel about the services that you provide to them. Then you're going to issue an invitation. This is the test. This is how you know for sure whether you have a problem or not. You're going to just point blank ask them, listen, I really appreciate all that stuff that you said about the services that we're providing you and how happy you are with our value that we're providing in the relationship. Thanks for all of that. Listen, from time to time, we have potential clients that, you know, they're about to do business with us, but they would just feel a little better if they could sit down briefly and chat by phone with an existing client of ours. In other words, would you be willing to serve as a reference, occasionally talking to a potential client of ours who just simply wants to chat with someone that we've been working with to make sure that the services are real and that, you know, and to hear whatever you have to say about the relationship that you feel like the relationship is with between us? Would you be willing to do that? And that's how you know. If they say yes, then they will serve as a reference. Well, then you know there's not a problem. Okay. And so then the question after that is, all right, so there's not a problem. There's not a client service problem. But the question is there anything you can be doing to do the impossible, to get someone who either never refers or has substantially reduced the number of referrals they're providing? Is there anything you could possibly do to reverse that? Is there something you could do to get someone who's not referring to start referring? And the answer is yes. Not in all cases, but the references project in my experience and the experience of all the advisors that we've worked with over on the Trusted Advisor Toolkit, the answer is yes. You can increase referrals, even from the community of clients that aren't referring. All right. So then we get into something. My good friend Rick Barrera has coined a term, lip loading. So the question is, if they offer to become a reference, in other words, yeah, sure, Mark, if you've got a potential client, I'd be happy to occasionally chat with someone and just confirm that you're the real deal. And yeah, I'd be happy to talk to a potential client of yours. So then I will ask them, the fourth step in this process is, I say, so great. So what would you say? Let's say I sent you a potential client tomorrow. What are the kinds of things that you would tell them? And I'm not screening you. I'd like to give you feedback on what it is, in my opinion, people need to hear in order to have a great relationship with us. In other words, if somebody is going to come in as a client, I want to set the relationship up for success. And if you have something that you feel is important, share with me what it is, if you would, because I'll share with you what I think are the ground rules, the things that are important to share in terms of ground rules for getting off to a good start. In other words, what are the things that if they knew that this is important, would set a potential client up for a really great relationship with us. So what you're doing is you're getting them to say, well, Mark, I make it clear that none of these people are going to ask about their money or their personal situation. That's off limits. But the purpose of the call is to talk about Mark Little, the advisor, the relationship, the types of services that are provided. And oh, by the way, here are the things that we appreciate about Mark. In other words, we've been working with Mark X amount of time. And look, the thing we really value the most is XYZ, whatever those things are. And so I go, so what would you say? What are those things? And so then your client would say, well, I'd say this, I'd say I really appreciate how we know a year in advance that when we're going to be meeting with Mark. So with our other advisor, you know, we never knew when we were going to be meeting with him. And so Mark has solved that problem. And, you know, how about this? Every time we come into the meeting, I really appreciate the fact that he confirms that we are on track to every one of our goals. Our old advisor never used to tell us whether we're on track or off track. We kind of assumed we were on track, but they never just came right out and said it. And I'll tell you, I really appreciate the fact that Mark tells us that we're on track. And if we're ever off track, he comes in with recommendations to get us right back on track. And I appreciate that as well. So this is what Rick Barrera calls lip loading. What they are doing is they are saying out loud what for some clients, they have a hard time figuring out what they would say to a friend of theirs when the subject of money comes up. So now, in essence, they're telling you things that sound great. And if they were to share those things with their own network of people, you know, that would be a really good referral. Like those would be good things to say, and that would result in referrals. But at this stage, you're just kind of talking about what would you say if I sent you someone that wanted a reference, and what would you say about me? Well, they say certain things, and then I document what they just said. So I don't tell them I'm going to do this. I just follow up the conversation with an email, and I attach a document, and it's in bullet points. You said this, you said that, you said this other thing. So I pluck out of all the things they're saying. And some clients tend to ramble. So I don't give this long, drawn out narrative. No, it's tight, concise, coherent, very conversational, bullet pointed. You said this, you said you value this, you said you value that, you said you value this other thing. They're all very concise, conversational, coherent, really good things that you've plucked out of what they said. And if you do any editing at all, which I encourage you to use their words when you create this document, but in essence, use their words. If anything, you just tighten it up, make it more concise and short, but provide them with a list of everything that they said that was of value. And by the way, we're talking about two clients here. So I do it, you know, it's if my clients are Ted and Lynn Smith, I'll say, well, Ted, for you, what would you say if you were a reference and I put your name on a list and somebody called you, what would you say? So then you have on the document, here's the bullet things that Ted said. And then Lynn, for you, if I put a you as a reference, what would you say? And then on the same document, then here's Lynn's responses, bullet pointed list of what Lynn said are the value that I provide in the relationship. So now I've documented it. I send them an email and I say, you know, hey, Ted and Lynn, I really can't thank you enough for all the things that you said the other day about us. I really, it's inspiring to know that you feel that way about us. And I've attached what you said in the attachment. Would you mind looking it over and confirming with me if this is what I thought I heard you say? Could you please confirm that this is indeed what you said? And so they look at the list, and I don't pester them. Like if they forget to follow up and say, yeah, this is what I said, I don't I don't pester them. I wait till the next client progress meeting to bring it up. But I'll tell you, most clients, they look it over and they go, yeah, that's exactly what I said. And in my email, I say, if I got something wrong, then feel free to edit this. You know, I've provided it to you in a format that you can edit, like a Word document or text file. And so open it up. And if I caught something differently than what you intended, you know, feel free to correct the record. But, you know, I think this is valuable because if I ever put you on a list as a reference to someone, I'll let you know in advance and I'll send you this. So just to refresh your memory on things that I agree, these are things that every potential client should understand about the relationship that they're about to enter into with me. I think the things that I've attached here that you said are very important. I think these are the things that potential clients do need to hear. But anyway, I will provide this to you every single time I give you your name out as a reference. And so then now you've set the stage. You've told them you're going to provide them with as a reference. Now you need to do it. So you always, if you invite a client to be a reference, then you always need to actually provide them as a reference. So you need now whether you provide them as a reference and whether that person actually calls your client or not is irrelevant. But you need to, between every client progress meeting, for any client that you've invited into the references project, the fifth step is you need to make it your goal that you give every client on the references project someone as a reference to call them at least once in between every client progress meeting. Okay. Now, whether they actually call them or not is irrelevant. Some will, some won't. That's not important here. It's important that you follow up and you actually did use them as a reference. And you send them an email saying, hey, Ted, Lynn, I've put your name as a reference, both of you, to a potential client. So if you get a call from, you know, Xavier Chavez, then that's my potential client. If you get a call from that person, then you'll know it's from me. I provided your name as a reference. And oh, by the way, I've attached the list of things that you said that I thought were important for potential clients to hear. But again, you can say whatever you want. I just thought I'd provide this as a service to you just to refresh your memory on some things that you might want to not forget to cover. Okay, so that's step number five. Step number six is then at the next client progress meeting, you always bring it up. Okay, so the references project, this, if a client is a member of the references project, then that means you're not going to have the referral conversation. That what now is happening in the client progress meeting is the references project conversation is in lieu of the referral conversation. So it replaces the referral conversation until as such time as they start referring. And then you go back to the referral conversation. Okay. So the references project is at every client progress meeting for any client that has agreed to serve as a reference, and I'll go through the conversation here in a minute. But basically, you're going to follow up and say, "Oh, by the way, if they didn't respond to your attached list, you know, you would start the conversation at the next meeting out as, hey, you recall at our last meeting, I asked you if you'd be willing to serve as a reference, and I sent you a list of things that I heard you say." Can we go over that real quick? You don't reprimand them. You don't say, hey, you never got back with me and confirm that this is what you said. You just do it at the next meeting. So you just pull it, have it printed up. have a, it goes 15 minutes, it's usually because they have referrals for you. So if it's a references project, it's just a 5 or 10 minute conversation. But if the first follow-up, if they have not approved what the list that you sent them, then get that approval. So go point, but bullet point by bullet point, read it out loud, say, did I get that right? Is that what you said, Ted? Is that what you meant? And they said, yeah. Okay. Then you go on to the next one. Then Ted, you also said, and then you read it right off there verbatim. And then you say, is that what you said? Did I get that right? Yeah. Yeah. You got that right. Now, Lynn, let's go through yours. Lynn, you said, and then you confirm each of those. So now you've got an approved list. And what do you do after it's approved? Well, at the next meeting, you will have sent them a reference, someone, and you say, hey, I'm just following up. I sent you a note that I gave your name to Xavier Chavez. Did Xavier ever call you? And they're going to say yes or no. If they say yes, then you go, well, how did it go? What kinds of things did they ask? I don't ask what they said. I asked what the potential client said. Like, I'm not fishing for compliments, but I'm kind of curious, you know, if they're going to, what they are willing to share with me about that call. So what kind of questions did Xavier ask? I just want to make sure that they took my advice and didn't ask you anything personal about your situation. Oh, no. They just wanted to know about you, Mark. And, you know, and usually they'll volunteer what they said. And so then at every meeting that you've used them as a referral, now you go back through that document that they've already approved. And if they shared with you something that they said that's new or different or improved, then you say, well, it sounds like we can add something to your list of things that I think are important to share with people. So it sounds like Xavier was interested in whatever Xavier was interested in. And then if the client shared what they said and you thought it was important, well, now you can expand their approved list of things that they are saying that represent really complimentary things that they could say about you. So I have them confirm the list, and as much as possible, I have them read their own thing off the list. You know, Ted, could you read that third bullet point? You know, and so, yeah. And then they say this, that, and the other, and say, so that's the way I understood. Is that right? Yeah, that's right. Okay, Ted, would you read the next one? Lynn, would you read the next one? You know, have them say it out loud. So why is this lip loading back on number four? Why does Rick call this lip loading? Because you're helping them script themselves on, if all it is they don't know what they would say that they honestly feel about you. They just have never taken the time to think about if they were to share something about you, what would they say? Well, many clients, they just have not spent the time thinking about it. And the reason this is lip loading is if you can get them to approve this list, and if furthermore, you can get them to say these things on the list out loud in your meeting, just to confirm that they still feel that way, then this is lip loading. They're hearing themselves and each other say very complimentary things about you. So that if in between meetings, they're out in the wild and they're talking with friends of their own, and somebody says, well, what does your advisor do? Or what do you think about your advisor? They've lip loaded. They've got some things in their head that they're comfortable saying. Why? Because they said it, they came up with it to begin with. You've stuck to their script. You've kept using their words. And they now have a much clearer idea of what they would say if they were inclined to say anything. So anyway, that's the process. That's the references process. Let's go and look at it. I want to show you with the time that we have left. Let me see if I can find it here. Let's go here. Let's go look at the cheat sheet. And with the time we have remaining, about 15 minutes, let's go through this. So notice I'm up in the address bar where it says Google. So follow me. I'm just going to type in the references project.com. Did I spell that right? THEREFERENCES project.com. So hit enter. And it'll pull up the template. Now, notice on the one I'm in it'll say sign in. This is a Google Doc, so it doesn't matter if you sign in or not. The only reason you might want to sign in is if you're signed in, then when you go under file, Notice how it says make a copy of this is grayed out. So if you wanted to make a copy of this so that you could, you know, use it, like keep a copy for yourself, then you'll need to log into Google. All right. But if you don't care about that, then, you know, you can just pull this up, thereferencesproject.com, and you'll see it. All right. So page one, I've blown this up a little bit. So let's just walk through this. Page one is here are the two problems that the References Project solves. It's clients that have kind of declined, their pattern of enthusiasm has declined, or they are uncomfortable providing referrals. So what is the process? So here's the conversation. I want to go through this in a little bit more detail with you. As a matter of fact, I'm going to get a copy of this that is logged in over on the screen so I can actually work with the document. Let's make this bigger. There we go. I'll make it even bigger just so it shows up better on the recording. All right, so let's go through the process. So here's the conversation you have with a client. So you start off, you tell, you know, this is how you begin the conversation. This is the conversation opener. So you get to the point at the end of your meeting that you would normally have the referral conversation, but you're going to have the references conversation instead. And this is how you start it out. You say, Mr. and Mrs. Client, Lynn, Ted, you know, our goal is to be indispensable to you. There's something you don't know that I need to share with you, how we measure client satisfaction. So the way we measure client satisfaction is by the referrals that we receive. We know clients who introduce us to other people are happy. And because, you know, they wouldn't risk their reputation referring us if they weren't. But we don't know who clients who don't refer us. We don't know what that means. We don't know whether they're unhappy or whether it means anything at all. It could mean nothing. But because we don't have referrals, you know, we can't check you off the list as saying this is a satisfied client. Therefore, in the absence of referrals, all it means is we need guidance from you. In other words, how satisfied are you? And you let them describe that. You shut up and you let them talk, each of them individually. So Lynn, how satisfied are you with this relationship of ours? Ted, that's how Lynn feels. So Ted, how do you feel about this relationship between us? And then at the end of that, you just say, and Lynn, what more could we be doing than we are currently doing? Like if we're sitting here talking about an improved relationship, what would that look like? And then shut up and let them talk. You need to be listening. This References Project is really 80% listening and only about 10 or 20% talking. So you go through each of them. What would, and then you hit them with the invitation. Okay, that's great. There's not a problem. I appreciate all the things that you said about the value our relationship brings to you. Let me ask you a question. Would you be willing to serve as a reference? So here's the actual script. Now, I've actually gone to the trouble of scripting it out in more detail. And this is the opener to that. So I'll let you read that in your own time, but you get the idea. And then I've given you two versions. So you have a version. So this is part one of the conversation up here at the top. All right. So this is part one of the conversation. You say this in all cases. Then you have two versions, one for clients who either have actively referred in the past, or they've referred maybe one or two, but not three. You get what I'm saying? It's not like they're not referring. It's just that either their referrals have declined or they're not referring enough to satisfy you. In my case, they're not providing three referrals. So there's two versions of that. I thought you deserved to know that's how we measure satisfaction. I want to acknowledge all the great people that you've pointed in our direction. And I want to confirm that this is how you still feel. So is it safe to assume that we're exceeding your expectations? And that's why you introduced us to one person in the last 4 months. So you introduced us to, you know, Tommy Gregson. And so we really appreciate that introduction. We pointed Tommy in the right direction. He came in, he had a specific financial issue. We were able to help him have a breakthrough with that issue. We conducted his financial roadmap. So he's now got his own financial roadmap. He had a specific situation that he was struggling with. So I pointed him in the right direction. He's thrilled. And I just want to thank you. But my question to you is, are we exceeding your expectations? And that's why you introduced us to Tommy Gregson. Then shut up, let them talk. You want to hear what they have to say. This is a listening exercise. Then they say whatever they say, which is should be some form of yes. Yes, you can assume that we're exceeding your expectations. Great. Well, my team and I really appreciate this. And from time to time, we talk to potential clients who would appreciate a reference. And they'd love to speak to a client like you who's worked with us for a long time. And if I promise not to be a burden to you and burden you too often with these, would you allow me to add you to my list of references? And I explained to them how I rotate clients on the list so that, you know, they don't get too many calls. But, you know, I focus on my gratitude if they'd be willing to say yes. And I expect a yes. I think you can expect a yes. If they say yes, let me start with this. If they say no, then whatever they've told you about, oh, no, we're fine. We're happy with service, blah, 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 blah. If they're not willing to serve as a reference, trust me on this one. There's a problem in the relationship. It may be a problem with only one of the two spouses, but it's a problem. Trust me on this. So if they say, no, I'm not willing to serve as a reference, or if one of the two spouses is one unwilling to serve as a reference, then just give it up. Acknowledge that there is a problem and you're going to have to work to uncover what it is. It may be something you already know about. There may have been a mistake made or something that you can immediately identify what the problem is. But look, until you acknowledge there is a problem with this client relationship, you can't even begin to start working on resolving it. But I would say with most clients, they're going to say yes, you know, that the fact that they're not referring doesn't mean they're unhappy. Okay. But what you're looking for is an unqualified yes. Yes, you're indispensable. Yes, you're exceeding our expectations. Anything other than a strong yes, then you've uncovered a problem and you jump and you basically have a problem to work on. Okay. So then with clients who do not actively refer, they've referred zero clients over the last 4 months or 12 months. So I thought you deserve to know that's how we measure client satisfaction. And that's that scripting at the top where you explain, you know, we use referrals as a measure of client satisfaction because, and you make logical sense as to why, and you want them to get it. The reason that you're even bringing this conversation up is only because you're concerned about exceeding their expectations, which actually should impress them. So I thought you deserve to know that's how we measure client satisfaction. And since we haven't discussed this before, this conversation is probably long overdue. So in the absence of referrals, how should we determine how satisfied you are with the value you're receiving with us? Or how should we gauge the value you're receiving from my team and me? You know, you're simply asking them, how do I measure success in a world where we're not receiving referrals? So we don't have any other way. We have to ask. So, and then I go through and I say, here's what you can expect. So once they say, yes, I'd be willing to serve as a reference, and most will, then that's great. Now we can cross them off the list. They're not unhappy. There's no problem with the relationship. Now you shift the entire project to question number two. And that is, now that you've eliminated them as a risk of not firing you, that they're happy. Is there any way to actually increase the probability that that they would restart referring? Like a client who has slowed down referring or just never refers, is there any hope that they would start referring? And the answer is yes. It's to get them to the next phase of this project. And, you know, and you explained from time to time, we talk to potential clients. They would love to speak with a client like you, and you get them to agree to be a reference. And then you explain the rules. So this is in the first, you know, after they've accepted, they will be a reference. Then you go through this next, this, it's called the References Project Client Briefing. You give them the client briefing, and I'll let you walk through this. Basically, you assure them that you'll always contact them. If you give their name out, it's not going to be somebody calling them out of the blue with surprise. It's going to be because, you know, you gave a name out to someone, you gave their name out as a reference, and you'll contact them to let them know that you've done that. Okay. So they'll know in advance if they're supposed to be looking out for a call. And then you go through the whole thing that we went through a little while ago. What do you think a potential client needs to know about that us? What do you feel are the benefits of working with us? What would you tell a potential client? These are all things you pause after each of these questions and just let them answer the question. Again, 80% listening. So you ask, what do you feel a potential? So let's just talk about the call. Let's say I were to send you a reference, somebody that wants a reference tomorrow. What do you feel a potential client needs to know about this relationship with us? And then you shut up and listen. And then you're, of course, taking notes. Now, you're recording your meetings, so I don't sit there and take copious notes. I record the meeting, as you all should, we all should, with the client's knowledge, of course. And then I just go back and have my administrative manager type it up, like write it up. I want to see a document of these things later. But when they both answer that question, then I go to the next question. So what do you feel are the benefits of working with us? What would you tell? You know, you just kind of keep walking through the logic until you feel. The reason you keep asking questions is because you want them to peter out. You want them to keep going and saying good things out loud. You want them to hear themselves and each other say really good things about you until they're exhausted, you know? So anything else? And one way you can do that is just keep asking them slightly different questions. And then, of course, even if you get to the end of your questions, you after they say another thing about something they think is positive and of value about you, you can keep saying anything else, and you should. All right. So then you exhaust that. And then I go through and I document the follow-up. So you type up their responses, you use the recording to do that, and you email them the bullet points. You know, you tell them, I want to thank you for offering to serve as a client reference. And by the way, attached is what we thought we heard you say. Could you look at that and let us know if this is in fact, if we heard you right, are these the things that you in fact feel about us? And if they reply yes, then I would reply by email. That's great. Can I quote you on that? It's kind of a funny response and clients laugh. But this is another just testing to make sure the relationship is solid. Most of them just kind of laughingly reply, of course, you can quote me on that, you know, and don't diminish that. It's important. If they say that you can quote them on that, then, you know, I don't want to get into FINRA rules about testimonials. This is not that, but you now actually do have some testimonials that are not investment advice related, have nothing to do with investments or you know, promising returns or projecting returns or anything like that. This is just a client's heartfelt feeling about what value does my advisor bring to my life. It's kind of an emotional testimonial. And it they've just given you permission to quote them on that. I'll just leave it at that. So now you've got, I would maintain at the very least, an internal list of clients have said all these things. And then at least you've got an internal list that you're maintaining. If you never use it, it's a feel-good list, but I think you'll find ways to use that list. So then we get to, and we're kind of winding down this session, but if you go through this whole process, and I encourage you to read this whole thing, and I do talk about if they're unwilling to serve as a reference, you know, the payoff is once they have heard themselves and their spouse say all of these great things out loud at every meeting about you, expect this. You will see a measurable increase in referrals from the list of people who refer nothing or refer very, very little. In other words, if you're measuring a subset of your clients, and let's just call it the clients that seldom refer, okay? If you just measure that subset, I'm telling you, the References Project, you will see a noticeable uptick. I'm not saying you'll get double referrals. You know, these, to a great extent, these are the types of people that are just kind of shy and reserved. And, you know, for whatever reason, you know, they're not going to get out there and bang the drums. They're not going to stand on top of a milk carton with a megaphone saying, you know, Mark Little is the greatest financial advisor in the world. It's just not their personality. They'll never do that. However, if you get them in a situation with a friend of theirs, when they're talking about money and a client's struggling with a significant financial issue, maybe for the first time ever, it crosses their mind that, yeah, maybe you should call my person because my financial advisor, he or she, is extraordinary. There are some things that my advisor does that I've never had an advisor do for me before, such as, and then you've lip-loaded them. You've given them the confidence and the wording of what their own words are, how to describe that. And I'll tell you, this is something you should think about as well. What I've had clients tell me over the years is that before I brought this References Project up, they were providing us as a reference or referral. They were not providing referrals, not because they weren't impressed with us, but they kind of got the impression their spouse wouldn't approve of them referring somebody involving their money. Like they just thought their own spouse would not approve of, you know, providing referrals to their friends, you know. But when they're in the meeting with you and you're getting both of them to voice with the value that they appreciate about you, and they're hearing themselves and their spouse say these wonderful things about you, that's I've had clients tell me, look, when I heard my spouse say all these great things about you, I thought, well, we should be referring you. You know, it's like, we both feel the same way. I wasn't sure he or she, my spouse, felt the same way as I did, but now I do. Now I know. And it's because of the References Project and the way that you went through the process. So the payoff is you will notice a measurable uptick in referrals from clients who either never referred before or don't refer very often. Okay. So that's the payoff. And as far as the actual conversations in the client progress meeting at subsequent client progress meetings, I've scripted that out. At least all I'm doing here is telling you how I have conducted the References Project, these many 20 years. It's been over 25 years that I've had the References Project. So anyway, meanwhile, back at the ranch, I've got this cheat sheet for you. It's the referencesproject.com. If you want that cheat sheet, I encourage you to identify every one of your clients, just list them in priority order. List them by the number of referrals they've provided you over the last 12 months. And don't feel bad if you're like me, the first time you do this, there's a lot of zeros. And it's because you have not made this a priority. And so now you're going to change that. So if I encourage you, go to the referencesproject.com, implement this project because it'll make a measurable difference. And it has for me. I will point out there are three documents and I'm kind of summing up what I've already described here, but I want to sum it up on this slide so that on the replay page in the Advisor Pack monthly program, this will refresh your memory. Like, how do I manage this project? There are three documents that you need to run this References Project. Number one is an internal list. I have my administrative manager run this, maintain this. It's a list of every client who I've invited to serve as a reference, and they've said yes. So it's just this long list of clients. They've all agreed to serve as a reference, and so that I can rotate the names and anyway, if you have questions about this, I was tempted to go off onto some other issues around this, but if you have questions, just submit them through the Advisor Pack monthly program, and maybe we get into it in future months. The second document that you need to maintain to manage the references project is the external to potential clients. In other words, when you're giving the potential client a list of references, I try to give them up to three references. This is how I rotate the list. And I encourage them, you know, call as many as you want, but here's three. And I include, you know, I go, here's reference. It's a document. So here are some reference. As you requested, here are some references to satisfied clients that you may want to talk to. They'd be happy to share what, you know, the relationship with me has been like. And so I just put the names of the three people. By the way, I separate them. I don't refer a couple. I refer each of them individually. So here's Ted Smith, here's Lynn Smith, and then here's Royce O'Connor, another good client of mine. So I usually give them up to three references. Typically, well, it just depends. Like I've had female potential clients say, do you have any women clients that I could talk to? And then I'll just give them a list of just the wives in the spousal relationship if they request it. Anyway, I try to tailor the list as much as possible. Like, for example, if I've got a client who works for the same company as they do, or a client that has the same profile, or maybe it's a retired client, and I figured they'd want to talk to another retired client. So you can use demographics or personality traits, whatever you want. I'm just pointing out, I give up to three references. If you only have one, then just give them one. You don't have to give them three. I give them three. Okay. And then this lip loading document for every client that you've invited into the references project, you know, you'll need to create a document that you will provide to them every time you give out their name to someone as a reference. You're going to give them a heads up and say, Ted, Lynn, I put each of your two names on a references list to a potential client. The client's name is, you know, John Smith. And so if you get a call from John Smith, you'll know it's regarding me. And so, and by the way, attached is, just to refresh your memory, these are the things that you've said in the past that you feel like potential clients need to know about us. But say whatever you want. I just am attaching this, as a service. So that's it. That's the reference. Those are the three documents that you need to maintain to make this project effective. So just parting shot, never forget. Client referrals are the best and most direct method of measuring client satisfaction. I don't want you to ever forget that. That is the key to not only the Advisor Pack monthly program, but it's the key to your breaking out and increasing the number of ideal clients that you're acquiring on a regular basis. And I don't want you to forget that just because a client isn't firing you doesn't mean they're satisfied or even happy with you. In other words, if you have a client that's not referring and I ask you if they're happy, unless you know, because I'm going to say, how do you know? You know, if you don't have any evidence that you can point to, and if you haven't had a point blank direct conversation with them about this, like we do in the references project, then just admit it. You don't know whether they're happy or not. You think they are, you'd like to think they are, but it's a form of rationalization. Let's get past that. Let's just admit you don't know, and let's just launch into the references project. And I just encourage you, most advisors think that because their clients aren't firing them, their clients are satisfied or something along that line. I encourage you, let's all set a higher bar. Simple client retention is a low bar for client satisfaction. I think it's a highly risky business model. If your only way of attesting that your clients are satisfied is the fact that they're not firing you, well, that's a low bar. It's risky, and you should make it a goal to change that. And it's easy to change. You just make a commitment and implement the references project. So I don't see any questions that have come in over the transom for this session. So I guess we're done. Just a refresher. There is in, when you click contact us in the Advisor Pack monthly system, this is the section that I'm talking about. If you have a question that you want me to field, then you're going to have to leave me a voice message, okay? All other messages that you type in as an email, those are answered by my staff, which is fine. But if you want me to respond, then you'll have to leave me a message. And that all you do is click right there. You click right there and you'll get this page. You click the start recording button and you just explain whatever your problem or your question is. And I'll give you my best advice. If it's something that I've encountered over the last 40 years, I'll share, you know, the answer with you. So that's it for, until next month, we wish you every future success. Let's go out there and knock our clients' socks off. Let's make it our goal in this program, what the program is designed to do. Let's just acknowledge that the best measure of client satisfaction is unsolicited client referrals. And let's make that our goal. So until next month, I'm Mark Little.